So it's good to be home. Last week I was gone for a stretch of 5 days in Danville, California. How many of you have been to Danville, California? Ooh, whoa, all right. There's a lot of Cali folks in the house. I was there for a five-day retreat called the Academy for Spiritual Formation. And it was such a rich time of rest. It was such a rich time to just really breathe in, to breathe out, and to just pause and notice things about myself and things about the church and things about what's happening in the world. And everyone's been asking me, so what did you learn from there, or how was it? And I've been spending this past week just thinking about, okay, what are some of the key things that I've taken away? And it's so good and a wonderful thing and a practice for us to do is to always reflect on what's happening in our lives. So the first thing that I reflected on during this trip is the silence. The silence. As a high E, as a high extrovert, I'm one who finds energy in just interacting and talking and listening and being around so many people. But my first night there, they said, this retreat, we're going to practice silence. So there were two sessions during the day. We had folks lecture, professors come and speak to us. And then after those periods, we were to practice silence for about an hour and a half, where we weren't allowed to talk. We could see one another, but we were encouraged to really just be in silence. So that was a difficult thing, but also a very, very beautiful thing. The rhythm of the week was structured in so much silence and prayer. And after listening to these presenters, these professors on spiritual formation, I just wanted to talk to people. But sometimes we're just encouraged to really just sit with what we're experiencing. And then also we closed each day with an evening service that ended around 9 p.m. And after that, it was more silence. So I found myself going to sleep around 9 p.m., which is foreign to me because many of you know that you get emails from me like at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. That was just so opposite of my rhythm, but it was really a blessing to have four straight days of 8 hours of sleep. And that's one thing that we take for granted is the rest and our ability to just close our eyes and to just rest our body and our spirit. There were no sounds of Emma crying or wanting to be held and to jump into our bed at 1 a.m., which is a regular routine, or no sounds of Jonah sneaking into our room at 4 a.m., jumping in our bed as well. But yes, silence was one thing that I experienced, which was such a gift to my soul. The second thought that stands out for me is that what I learned about myself is that my heart, my spirit, my soul craves and yearns for a spiritual rhythm, some sort of rhythm within my life. I don't know if you could relate, where sometimes our days are just out of whack, where one thing happens, we get frustrated by one thing, and we're just thrown off. And sometimes we have that craving and yearning to be in a place where we could experience love and peace, which many of us do on Sunday mornings. But what I learned is that I want and desire that rhythm within my life somehow on a daily basis. I wanted that deeper connection and craving. I wanted to have those moments in my life where I could just close my eyes to go on hikes and walks to look at God's wonderful and beautiful creation. such a rich time, and I look forward to sharing more stories as I continue this journey through the academy. Now imagine yourself in today's scripture passage. We heard a little bit from the children's sermon, and then we heard Reverend Jeannie's reading of today's scripture passage. Imagine yourself and enter into this scene. Imagine first who Zacchaeus was. Who is this guy? A tax collector. A hated tax collectors. Tax collectors were really seen as traitors working for an occupying Roman Empire, collecting taxes from his own people, the Jewish community, and carrying out the work of the Roman Empire. So imagine how he felt. Everyone around him hated him and despised him. Have you ever been hated by someone? Or was there ever a moment in your life where you're really despised by anyone? Not a good feeling. Just a side note, Emma, a couple of weeks ago, ran up to me. I think I was disciplining her, and I said something to her about, no, you cannot play with those toys at this moment because you need to do this. In her moment of defiance, she said, Dada, you're not my friend. She was despising me in that moment. Despising me. So it makes us think, as we look at this text, who in your life, who in your life right now has some beef with you? Who despises you right now? So imagine Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and hated. But how do you think he really, really felt? Probably felt a lot of shame for doing what he was doing. And it makes us ask, what are the things in our life right now that make us feel ashamed? Or maybe something that happened way back in the past? Or have you ever felt those closest to you, maybe someone in your family, just didn't like you in that moment? Just like how Emma said, you're not my friend. This is the story of Zacchaeus. He was hated, despised, but he was trying to see who this Jesus was and to see what he was all about. What was his story? So he had heard of all the miracles that Jesus was doing, feeding 5,000 people, healing so many people, even letting those who were blind, leading them to a place where they could see, healing hearts and even changing people's lives and how they interacted and carried themselves. So he wanted to catch just a little glimpse of who this Jesus was and timed it perfectly. He climbed this tree and said, I'm going to be right here. This is where I'm laying. This is where I'm laying. Perfect spot. I'm going to catch him just as he walks by. He just wanted to see a glimpse of him. But throughout the gospel stories, Jesus is always seeking to pursue and connect with those on the margins, those marginalized, those who are seen in society as less than, insignificant, often ignored. The poor, the sick, and in this case, tax collectors. Have you ever felt unnoticed by someone, or unnoticed by a group or by an institution? Friends, the good news in this passage is that in our being unnoticed, God notices you. Whether you've been overlooked by others in your family, at work, or even here at church, or feel that God may not want to even look in your direction for the things that you've done, or perhaps for how you treat certain people in your life, know that we worship a forgiving and compassionate God, always wanting to notice and look at us. And not only that, always seeking to call out our name to invite us. This is a God that always extends grace and mercy towards us in everything. Jesus notices Zacchaeus and finds Zacchaeus in his tree and invites him. Not only invites him, but says, I'm inviting us to your home. I'm going to your home. And then what happens next in the scene? It quickly turns into complaining, judgment, and grumbling among those who observe. There he goes again, this Jesus. He's doing it again. He's hanging out with sinners. There's this similar grumbling among the Pharisees and the scribes about Jesus being with sinners all throughout the Gospels. And the story, so much of the story too, is about wealth and finances. I often get questions about, so what are the main things in our lives that prevent us and hold us back from really exploring and connecting to who this Jesus is? And there's so many stories in the scripture that talk about wealth and finances and money that can become a distraction in our lives. There's so many stories of wealth in the gospel, from the foolish rich man who builds bigger barns to contain his wealth and dies with nothing to show for it. And then it's followed by a story of the image of the ravens and the lilies and the instructions from Jesus, where Jesus says, sell your possessions and give alms, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. First, he proclaims that salvation has come to that house. And we understand that the salvation is in the very person of Jesus, who comes to seek out the lost. Like the shepherd and the woman with her broom and the welcoming father and the story of the prodigal son. Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. In other words, the scripture is talking about that there is hope. Hope for this rich tax collector named Zacchaeus. Even the most marginalized and despised of the rich, the tax collectors have a place in the community of love. Even those in our lives and in society who people write off and say, no, they don't belong. Christ says, yes, they do belong. We all have a place in God's loving care. So Zacchaeus is positioning himself by climbing this tree to catch a glimpse, just a short glimpse of Jesus. But something to notice: when Jesus sees us and finds us, he doesn't then offer a welcoming party, but as the scripture says, salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house. This is saying Jesus pursues us and follows us just where we are. Now, imagine for me, we're going to do a practice here. Imagine for a moment a typical day in your life, the rhythm of your life right now, whether it's as you wake up, getting ready for work, going to work, interacting with colleagues, end of the day, coming home to family, or whether you're in a season of waking up, volunteering, interacting with different people. Imagine the rhythm of your life and the activities and all the people that you interact with right now. But now, just for a moment, imagine the most difficult part of your day, the most stressful, maybe the most hurtful part of your day, the most agonizing part of your day. Sit with that for a moment. What is that moment for you? Whether it's a situation at home with your family, or a relationship you're trying to navigate through and to reconcile with friends or colleagues. What is that specific moment challenging and difficult? Now, I want you to imagine in that difficult situation that in your trying to see and walk this life of faith, imagine God seeing you in that difficult moment as you wrestle with that situation. And imagine that God notices you. That God not only notices you in our moments of anger, in our moments of hurtful words, in our moments of confusion, but imagine God lovingly approaching you, meeting you there in that moment, full of grace and love. As Christ, the great inviter, welcomes us and invites us to journey together with Christ. Friends, as we continue to reflect this coming week, I invite you to think about these questions. What are you doing to get a peek at Jesus throughout your week? Are you at a place? Do you find a place to position yourself? It might be a tree. It might be a quiet place in your home. It might be as you walk at the end of the day. What are you doing to get a peek at Jesus throughout your week? And secondly, when God sees you and notices you and thinks about you, how do you think God feels? Let us pray. The one who notices us, the one who loves and adores us, we pray to you, O God, in this moment. Thank you, O God, for noticing us, seeing into our hearts, for being such a great inviter. Thank you, O God, for your love and grace that knows no end, that your grace abounds all around us, that even though in our difficult moments throughout our days and our routines, the moments we may be filled with fear, anger, hurt, shame, depression, remind us, O God, that you're with us, that your grace fills us, that you're always inviting us to come down from our trees to walk and to journey together with you. Help us, O God, to be attentive to your invitation. Open our eyes, God, to our friends that are in our lives, our family that are present. So God, as we continue to reflect and worship, we offer these thoughts unto you, knowing that you hear us and that you care for us and love us so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are blessed to have a dear friend in the house. I'd like to invite Yoshi Kurimoto to please come on down. Yoshi will be sharing quite a bit. Come share from up here, yeah. He had just returned from South Africa. For those who may not know, Yoshi will be serving as a missions fellow, and he had just returned from his training in South Africa. So he'll be leaving to Germany soon, and we just want to allow him this space to share how God is working and moving in his life and to lift up these things to encourage him in this time as well. Yoshi?
Do you want the mic or do you want? I'll just do it here if that's okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? As Reverend Dion just mentioned, I had the opportunity to go to South Africa before I officially depart for my mission service in Germany. So I'm here to give a little sneak peek, just to share a little bit about my experience in South Africa. So yeah, here we go. So my cohort, so I had the opportunity to meet all the other Global Mission Fellows, that's what we're called. Sorry, the pictures are blurrier than I expected. But consisted of 57 people from all around the world, and from 24 countries, actually. So it was just a real blessing. I listed all the countries just to show how diverse the group was. And I'm not going to lie. Like, a lot of the countries, like, I've never even heard of before myself. So it was, you know, kind of a reality check. Just to study a little bit more geography, it was Global Ministry is intentional about gathering folks from all around the world instead of just the United States or just Europe, and this is really to embody their motto. It's called "Everywhere to Everywhere We Serve." So. The idea is that God doesn't call a single group of people, but is at work in every corner of the world. So it's just a reminder and a blessing that there's all these folks from all around the world who are passionate about loving and serving God and its people. So being a part of this group was just a very unique opportunity. There are people just from all around the world, not only from different faith traditions, but just the way they were raised and everything. So it was just a stimulating time to be able to converse with them and learn about their experience and how ministry works in their context. So here's some pictures of sort of the training sessions that we had. What it looked like. So we talked a lot about social issues and how we can engage with the community as missionaries and also connect the church and the mission. So since we were in South Africa, we also had the opportunity for local pastors and even the bishop to come out and teach us more about its history and how church has been at work in the context of South Africa. So that was a really cool experience too. So we also had the privilege of visiting local churches. So this particular church was not a United Methodist Church, but it was a Methodist church. It was called St. Mark's Methodist Church. And as you can see, there are women wearing red, and there are some folks wearing blue. What it means is the women in red are married women, and the folks in blue, the blue kind of is a symbol of just welcoming new people and just showing their hospitality. So it was just a neat opportunity to see sort of that difference in culture too, even within the church. And another cool thing was that the church didn't have a lot of equipment. They didn't have any fancy sound systems or you know, guitars or anything. So a lot of the people there had a lot of energy. With every song, they basically incorporated a lot of movements and rhythm, and it was just a really amazing opportunity to be a part of their worship. So I have a video in the next slide. Hopefully it plays, but for you all to kind of get a taste of what it was like. Okay, so I'm going to play it. Hopefully it plays. Yeah, so as you can tell, everyone's singing and everyone's just happy to be there. And there aren't any microphones or anything like that, so you just really need to use your voice. And that was just an inspiring experience for me and just such a blessing to be a part of. So we ended up getting commissioned after about a total of 3 weeks of training. As you can see, I'm wearing this cross as a symbol of our commissioning, and it's kind of like an anchor shaped. It's a symbol that says that we're rooted in our faith, and also to show solidarity with the church and the other members. So these are just a few members of my cohort. And then, yeah, so what comes next is I'll be departing for Germany on the 26th of August. I'll be serving at Bremen United Methodist Church. And so I just want to invite you all to be a part of this journey with me. And so I would really appreciate all of your prayers, and also if you are so kind and willing to donate financially. This is my advance number. You'll need this if you go to the Global Ministries website in order to donate. And if you just wanna, you know, ask a little bit more about how it works, or just my experience in Germany or South Africa, I also have my email up here as well. And I'll stick around after church too, just to talk a little bit more about my experience in South Africa if you would like to hear about it. So thank you. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Yoshi. So just to let folks know, we'll have this information. Maybe we'll stick it in the bulletin next week, or we'll create a little flyer for those that may want to feel so compelled to support Yoshi as he goes off to Germany. We'll have this information in the office this coming week, or maybe we'll put it in the bulletin for next week. So let's continue to hold Yoshi in our care and support as he's going to be going to Germany, really doing refugee and immigrant ministries. His title really is going to be kind of like a community organizer doing migrant ministries in Germany. So let's continue to hold him in our prayers. Gene?